Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. Dear brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is with you.
Good evening, and welcome to What the World Needs Now, with host Ken Johnston. Stay tuned as Ken talks with authors, journalists, and others regarding topics important to us as Catholics in a world that's in desperate need of God's love.
Love that comforts from heaven. And welcome to What the World Needs Now. This is your host, Ken Johnston. I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for all that you do for us here at Innocent Catholic Radio, both your financial and prayerful support that has kept us on the air for over 40 years and gives me the privilege of being here on Wednesdays. Just a reminder, we are here Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. over the air at 800 a.m. But you can pick us up using the WTMR radio app on your smartphone or tablet, especially now that the days are getting shorter and maybe the signal will start getting powered down a little bit earlier. It's a great option to listen. Reminder on Monday, for those of you that have signed up for the golf outing or to come for dinner, it's going to happen this coming Monday, October the 13th, out at Old York Road. Any last-minute questions, you can direct to Maureen here. 610-527-2906. That's 610-527-2906. Please pray, all our prayer warriors, please pray for good weather. Looks like we're due to get a bunch of rain over the weekend. As much as we need it, it would be nice if it held off on Monday afternoon. All that to say, welcome to John Helliwell. He's our guest today. It's very rare that I get somebody that actually comes into the studio, John. So I want to welcome you. John's married to his wife, Kathy, and a father of two adult children. He's been blessed by personal encounters with Jesus and the Holy Spirit and would like to see the world recapture God's kingdom through speaking of his love and spreading of his love. He's a layperson touched by Jesus at some point in his life. We're going to hear more about it. And, took to writing a book in order to tell the world all about it. So welcome into the studio, John. It's great to have you here.
Ken, thank you very much, and I appreciate it. I got to say to all my friends in Philly, go Birds.
Yeah, and take the Phillies with you.
Well, we're hoping for tonight, okay? And that's all we can do. A little extra prayer, I guess. I don't know what works. Hail Mary, Our Father. Please, let's beat them tonight, boys.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure for me to come back home. I was raised in this area. In King of Prussia. I'm a graduate of Archbishop Carroll and of St. Joseph's University, so let's remind the Pope that the hawk will never die.
There you go.
All right.
There you go. So welcome back to Philadelphia. It was at the end of the bio, or somewhere in the bio, it talks about the work that you do for the Archdiocese of Detroit, and I was wondering, you didn't fly in from Detroit just for this, I hope.
I did indeed. I told you, it's like coming home. If I get a chance to see dear friends again, I am happy to do it. So thank you again for the opportunity.
Thanks for making the trip. As much as I enjoy interviewing people, and probably 90% of my interviews over the course of the year is over the phone, I think it's a little bit different when we're in the studio and looking at each other face to face.
Yeah, I thought it might be some fun for you as well. Yeah, it certainly is for me, so thank you. Again, I love hearing the Philly twang again. I miss that when I'm out there in the Midwest. So
Yeah. So I think what I get from reading your book is that Jesus touches each and every one of us. God touches each and every one of us. And sometimes we recognize it, and I know for a lot of years I didn't recognize it. And I think there's a lot of people walking around on this planet who God's trying to touch and has touched, and they don't realize that that's what it is. And Jesus touched you in a particular way a number of years ago, and
yes.
And you recognized it, and it seemed to be life-changing, huh?
That was the start of it, okay? My encounter with Jesus is, literally, I felt his hand on my shoulder, okay? And I heard his voice in my ear. And it was not something I imagined. It was extremely real. And I will say I put it on the shelf for a whole lot of years because life intervenes and you go about it. I was fairly young, but you go about sorting your life out. I ended up meeting a woman in Detroit that I married and raised a family and, practiced my faith. But I would say, was I involved in it? Was I dedicated to it? No, I wasn't. I was kind of your basic, you're a cradle Catholic. Mm-hmm. And you kind of take it for granted. You show up at Mass. Sometimes you don't get the Mass. Sometimes you get the confession. Sometimes you don't get the confession. It was 8 years ago now for me. In fact, about this time of year, that as I'm coming home on a business trip from Toronto, I had my experience with the Holy Spirit. And it's interesting to have him riding shotgun when you don't know he's not there. But he was definitely made an appearance next to me. Got me thinking about creation, got me thinking about the world, and said, write your story. Well, I don't know what my story was. And that's a pretty frightening thing to hear that and have someone command you. It wasn't a please, would you mind doing this? It was, you're going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. 7.5 years later, as he pestered me and continued to pester me, I finally got around to doing it, and that's what you've been kind enough to read and allow me to talk about now with Playing in the Sandbox. That is
right.
His title.
Right.
We are not just playing in any sandbox. It's God's sandbox, clearly.
Right.
So
as John just said, the name of the book is Playing in the Sandbox. Self-published?
It is self-published through Westbow Press. It's also available on Amazon. It's available at Barnes & Noble. And through Ingram Press as well. Thank you.
Very good. So you're going to have to pick up your copies there online. I got my copy today. But just the one. But I think once you hear the conversation, you may want to pick one up yourself, because we've all got a story to tell, and they vary in nature. And I was away from the church for a number of years, cradle Catholic. And I got zapped back in 93, and God put you on a different path. And like you said, you weren't always on the path that you're on right now. And somehow or other, God's managed you to get you where he needed you.
Absolutely. And he's the Holy Spirit is very persistent. I tell people, look, I wake up with him every day. Well, what do you mean, John? No, I mean, understand, my first thoughts in the morning are with God. And I can't say that was always like that, but it's a wonderful feeling, because then you want to say, what do I do next?
Right.
And that's the big thing. To me, the big thing isn't, okay, gee, I'm back. I'm tuned into the Lord. There's a call that we all have, whether it's get yourself on the radio and talk to people and proclaim the word, or do it in every little way that we can in everyday life. This is a time in our world definitely where we are called to action. And that was clear to me from the Holy Spirit's message to me. It wasn't just go write something real nice. One person said to me, once you write the book, you've succeeded because you did what the Spirit asked you. And I said, oh, no. That's part of the equation.
Yep.
It's not a success until we all go out there and bring people back to the path to heaven is the way I express it.
Yeah. Yeah, and to witness to one another, because that, ultimately that is our destination, right? Everybody's has that destination, but not everybody knows how to get there,
exactly.
or knows that it exists,
exactly,
or thinks that they're worthy of it, like, which was where I was 30 plus years ago, when I didn't think God wanted anything to do with me because of a lot of the things that I've done,
sure,
and. And somehow or other, he gets us on this path. And as you mentioned, I had no idea that I'd ever be doing this kind of work.
I don't think Peter, Andrew, or James did either, though. No. If you look at these guys that he picked for his disciples and his apostles, I just read a very wonderful book on the apostles. And, boy, we're just average people, mm-hmm. okay? But, you know, that connection with God, and he's asking us all then to be above average and beyond average and, you know, take his name and take his word out there, so.
Yeah, and so... you in reading through the book, you've had your own trials and tribulations over the years.
A couple of them, two very bad car accidents, near fatal ones. We have lost a child. We have one that is out there that is my daughter now, who was my son, and that's certainly a difficult situation.
Sure.
I have had my wife turn ink blue in my arms because she had a blood clot following heart surgery. And there was no scarier time in my life to hold somebody in your arms that you love and literally watch them die. Kind of scary, too, and she popped up screaming in my face, too, because the clot passed. So I know God's in my life because he saved a life in front of me.
I was reading that section of the book where you're calling 911 and sending the kids to get help, and all of a sudden she came too.
And the neatest part about writing that story was to be able to talk about the people that got involved, the neighbors that came in the house and took care of the boys, and they're still very dear friends. And, you know, that's God acting as well. I think we can take people for granted, but when they're willing to put aside their lives instantly and say, no, you are the most important thing in the world. I will care for your children. You know, a gentleman drove me to the hospital and stayed with me all night long. That's what God wants and what God intends for all of us to do is people like that.
It's a shame sometimes that that's what it takes to have people rally the way they do. But it does when it does happen. So, I lost my wife suddenly, you know, 6 months ago, 7 months ago, and it was the same kind of deal. People coming through the front door, and everybody, of course, bringing food, and not knowing what to say or how to say it, and it was interesting times. But it brings out the best in people, and when you have people that rally around you like that, it's just proof that there is a God. You know, and in the previous hour we were talking about it. You mentioned that you were listening a little bit, but this whole idea of self-sacrifice and how when we see our brothers or sisters that are in need of help, how we're willing to give up, you know, what's important to us in order to make sure that they're taken care of.
Well, that to me is one of the biggest parts of trying to reach heaven is to be other-centric, is the way I guess I put it.
Yeah.
You know, get up in the morning and think about other people first. I often get up and think about the prayer of St. Francis, okay, mm-hmm. where he said, you know, all the wonderful things he does in that. And the, you know, I think about my dad, who was always about giving the best he had to other people as well. And you don't find happiness in those things, can you? Find joy. And there is a qualitative difference in those. And the Deacon Mike Houghton, whom I work with at the Archdiocese of Detroit on one of his programs, really made that vivid to me in one of his homilies earlier in the year. You know, we can be happy as people or we can be joyful, but it's in God that we're joyful and in doing for others that we're joyful.
Right. Yep. Happiness is fleeting. Joy lasts quite a bit longer, you know, and It can take a long time. At least it took me quite a while into my 30s before I realized that. But once you find that, and you're willing to do for others, so hopefully people do their examination of conscience in some form or other when they go to bed at night.
Mm-hmm.
And I know when I do, and I look back over my day and the days where I've done things for other people are when I sleep easier, you know, where I look for those opportunities. And our good friend, Father McKay, was talking about it, I think, last night, the sins of omission. Mm-hmm. So today it's not so much about, at least for me, about the sins I commit as much as it is the sins that were for the things that I should have done that I didn't do, taking care of the person that's right in front of mm-hmm. me in that moment, thinking that I got to do something that's more important, that's going to make me happy, right?
That, you know, that to me is so central to this, that, yeah, if God puts a person in front of you, that's first and foremost. I have a friend that sometimes will text me at 2 in the morning. If I hear it, I respond to it. I don't wait. Because they're a person in some sort of need, mm-hmm. even if it's a simple question. Someone called me a few weeks ago and said, John, I really need to talk to somebody. Well, of course. You know, and I was busy, but I said, it's 6:30. You have my entire evening. We talked for an hour and a half.
Yeah.
The guy said, I reach out to my brethren in another organization, and they don't even call me and ask me how I'm doing. We got to stop that. You know, I hate to be the guy that says, well, what's wrong with the world now? We can all have our opinions on what's wrong with the world now, but the answer to me is simple, and maybe I'm a simple person, but the answer to me is simple. It's that three-letter word, God.
Yeah. Yep.
Bring him back.
Right, and do it in small things, not in you bring God back, but then, you know, we're not going to change the world by doing big things. We change it small things in a series.
One little thing at a time.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. So you go through these trials and tribulations in your own life. We've had similar experiences with a short marriage,
mm-hmm.
The first go-round. And I went through the annulment process, too. Learned a lesson from it, as we should, and I think that's why that process exists.
Yes.
So we, right. You know, so we learn from it and don't inflict the same pain on it on somebody else. But so you go through these things, and when exactly was it, or what was it that propelled you to start thinking about writing? So this was before the Holy Spirit, right? This was
all that certainly was, yeah. And it was also before my encounter with Jesus in the first person. My marriage was my last semester of college. Did not work out. Had its reasons. Nothing I need to go back over.
Right.
I spent the next decade, probably as most men do in their 20s, growing up, trying to figure out, I don't know what. I didn't figure out a whole lot in my 20s, Ken. Again, like most men, I think. What I should have been doing was accepting the death of my father, which came at age 17 for me, and then realizing I could put the broken marriage aside and rebuild myself. Well, that came 7, 8, 9 years later when I finally decided it was time to get myself together.
Mm-hmm.
Thank goodness for family. I, you know, had a mom who brought me back into her home and helped me grow up a little bit. And I found a gentleman willing to hire me for a job that I knew nothing about, which propelled a 40-year career in a particular industry.
Yeah. Like, so, the way you talked and the shine
like
on your
shoes.
Like
the way you talked. And what do you mean? And he said, John, I interviewed 6 people that I'm going to hire you. And I looked at him and said, Dave, why? He said, you carry yourself well.
Mm.
The Holy Spirit's in there somewhere,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah. No, absolutely.
Maybe absolutely. Even if he's the one that told me to shine my shoes that morning. Yeah, I don't know. But
yeah.
Back in the day where we shined shoes, of course.
Right.
You know, you need a few breaks, and you have to be eternally grateful to God when you get them, certainly. Yeah. And I've had, obviously, more than my share of breaks because I'm still here.
Yeah.
And then you realize you're here for a purpose.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I've said to folks, so my background is, you know, with addiction and mm-hmm. being in recovery and, you know, being blessed to be able to share the message of recovery and the message of God with people that struggle with addiction. And I've been known to say, I think what the biggest sin is not discerning what it is that God has called you to do, your vocation. And God needs each and every one of us to do whatever it is that he's called us to do. And when we don't try to figure that out and actually do it.
And you got a good point about the sermon. I don't think people in this day and age think about it anymore. And they don't stop and say, what do I do? What is it? Or, you know, we don't listen. We don't listen to anybody the way we used to, okay? We aren't present for other people, as you and I were talking about a few minutes ago. We're not present for them. We, you know, God gave us two ears and one mouth.
Right.
Close the mouth and open the ears. I almost got that wrong with the eyes. God gave me very weird eyes, so.
Yeah, that's in the book. The story's in the book.
We live with that, too, but, you know, it'll keep you humble.
Yeah.
Okay, with some of the things. And your disabilities are a gift from God. Mm-hmm. Your addiction struggles are a gift from God because he's calling you to come out of it and do something else. You mentioned suffering earlier. I think we all get that. You know, did I suffer with these things that I went through in my life? I wouldn't call it suffering. But it certainly wasn't something you want or something you plan for.
Right.
And when you realize you come out bigger, better, badder, stronger, at the end, what do I do with it? No, mm-hmm. I have to give it back to God. Right. He's made it crystal clear to me.
Right.
And I'm thankful that, you know, he's done it that clearly.
Yeah. Yeah, and one of the things that you just mentioned, too, was about listening. And I remember I worked in IT for a number of years for a big financial outfit, and we'd have training now and again. And it had something to do with, you know, attention or listening. And prior to that, I would always have my head in on the computer screen, even while people were sitting next to me talking to me. And we wouldn't be talking about work. They may want to share something personal, or they got a personal issue that's going on. And I would continue to work while I'm half listening, right? And so I tried to get into a habit where I fold the screen or actually turn and face the person that's talking to me, because they deserve that, right?
They do, and to
pay attention to them.
And there is your chance to share God with them. You know, again, I'm blessed to be part of the apostolate in Detroit called Unleash the Gospel at Work, and I've had an easy time doing that because I've shared, as I was writing the book, I shared it with several colleagues, and we would have discussions, different religions, various things. I could learn from them and find out where is the common entry point to talk about God so that they could be helped in their lives.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that starts with closing the computer down, listening to their story about their family or this that's gone wrong or whatever it is, and be able to get them God-centered in how they go forward with dealing with those things.
Yep. So your start with your faith, as you mentioned, you come up through Catholic school and then kind of go off the rails for a little bit like a lot of us do. When you came back, you mentioned in the book, did it start with lecturing at Mass, reading the word at Mass?
Well, it started with probably having the children and knowing that they needed to be, you know, raised within a church. My wife is Armenian Catholic, so she's an Eastern Rite Catholic, but it's the same church. We introduced the boys to both churches. Lecturing was something I did actually for a little while in high school,
mm-hmm.
and I thought I was pretty good at it, but I wanted to get back. There was something that said, go back to doing this.
Yep.
And the priest that we have at our parish takes a great deal of pride in training us well. You pronounce this word this way. This is where I want the emphasis. This is the strongest way to deliver the word of the Lord. And for me, it's I don't know how to describe it. It just means so much for me to have that expression on a regular basis.
Right.
It's one of the public expressions I have of my faith. Well, you're just reading the gospel. No, I'm not. I'm sharing myself as well.
Right.
Okay. As Father always reminds us, the gospel is our story. Now, I don't get to read the gospel.
Right.
But to read the Old Testament reading, the New Testament readings, St. Paul in particular, if you look at, first chapter to Timothy, second chapter to Timothy, I talk about that in one of the chapters of the book, the inspiration that those letters have that Paul wrote to Timothy, because he tells us how to be good disciples.
Mm-hmm.
This is how you go about spreading the word. You know, he gives very explicit instructions, and he tells us what the reward is too.
Yeah.
Okay. Which is glory from the Father. You know, my good and faithful servant. Isn't that where we all want to be? And thank you, Deacon Mike Houghton, as well for that.
Yeah, yeah.
Reminding us that isn't that what we all want, is to be met, you know, in heaven with our, you know, with God the Father and our Savior Jesus Christ, saying, thank you, good and faithful servant.
That's my goal.
Mine too. Yeah, mine too. Know?
And I think that that's the goal, like I said earlier, that's written on everybody's hearts, and just there's a lot of people that aren't aware of it, you know. And through your, you know, you're doing it publicly. So tell me a little bit. We've got a couple of minutes before we go to the break. About this unleashing the word in the workplace, or
unleash the gospel at work is an apostolate of the Archdiocese of Detroit. It started with our Archbishop's letter, and excuse me, I forget the year, but it was over 10 years ago. Where he, it was again part of his mandate to his flock, mm-hmm. in Detroit, that we should begin to unleash the gospel. It's part of our parish motto. I think I begin my book preface with it.
Right.
You know, to live the good news so joyfully that we can't help but proclaim it. Well, that literally is how my life is turned, what my life is turned into. The apostolate is meant to do just that in the workplace. As I said, get people to, because people want to talk to other people about their faith or about their issues with faith. Mm. They want that, okay? We are the conduit to help do that. I don't get directly involved in a lot of those things. I certainly support them. We do a lot of media.
Okay.
Now, we're on YouTube, we're on Facebook, we're on LinkedIn. Deacon Mike Houghton is pretty dynamic. He's an ex-executive at General Motors. He certainly knows how to run a program.
Yeah.
He's also a wonderful man and is terrific when it comes to explaining the word of the Lord. But there's a lot of very practical tips, things like you were talking about with the computer, you know, closing it down, giving your attention to other people. This is how you express this to somebody from, you know, from this gospel passage. Here's a good way to introduce it. Here's how you need to act. And I was drawn to that.
Okay.
And interestingly enough, he had a excuse me, the mind just went totally blank. We have a an online Catholic directory of businesses that we are putting together. And he told me about that. And I said, well, funny thing, I'm a salesman. Let me help you go sell it and build the book of business to be on the Catholic directory. So that's how we got involved. But his leadership and his mentorship for me actually extends far beyond that. But, you know, I don't know if we do that in Philadelphia here or not, but, you know, that'd be a neat thing to build on. Both the Unleash the Gospel at Work and the Catholic Commerce Directory, I think, are wonderful for building community and building disciples.
I forget the exact name of it, and I shouldn't, because I went to a couple of their meetings, but it was 20 years ago. But Catholic business people that back then, I think they were getting together once a month. Mm-hmm. And I might be able to find it when we go to the break here. We have reached the bottom of the hour, so we're going to take a short break. Again, our guest today in the 5 o'clock hour is John Hollowell. The book we're talking about is Playing in the Sandbox. Self-published by Westbow Press, available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble.
And Ingram Press.
Ingram Press, if you want to pick up your copy online. Just going to take a short break. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is Pat Wally. I have been a faithful listener of In His Sign for almost 9 years. So it is with much gratitude and appreciation in my heart that I reflect on how my life has been blessed through this beautiful anointed ministry. I personally have been the recipient of many answered prayers and healings, not only for myself, but also family and friends. You have been called, Kathleen, to speak all over the world, and wherever God sends you, the Holy Spirit uses you in amazing ways to touch the hearts and lives of God's hurting people through your extraordinary gift of healing. God bless you, Kathleen.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to What the World Needs Now. This is your host, Ken Johnston. Again, I want to praise all of our listeners and thank God for praise God for all of our listeners, and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. I'm looking forward to playing some golf on Monday afternoon. Hopefully some of our listeners will be there. We'll be out at Old York Road Country Club this Monday, October the 13th. I'm not sure if there's any room left. If you've got any last-minute questions, you can give Maureen a call, 610-527-2906. And as I mentioned previously, it looks like we've got rain in the forecast. So if our prayer warriors wouldn't mind, we need the rain, but if we could just get a break from noon to 5 on Monday afternoon, that'd be great. Again, our guest today in the 5 o'clock hour is John Hollowell. The name of the book is Playing in the Sandbox, right? That's God's sandbox, not our own sandbox, right?
That's right.
And actually privileged to have him here in the studio, flew in from Detroit. Just to be here for the interview, although I'm sure you'll be able to grab dinner or meet up with a few friends before you.
Oh, absolutely, Ken. Yeah, you know, yeah. I'm blessed to have some friends that I've had for 54 years now.
Yeah, yeah.
That are with me this week. Yeah.
No, and it's interesting because you said you went to Carroll, and I'm actually on a text group with a bunch of. I think I'm the only non-Carroll guy in the group, and. They offer prayers, and a frequent guest here on Mondays. I don't know if you know Eddie Morris. Eddie,
no.
Moe? Okay. No. Yeah, he's real involved over at Carroll, and a blessing to the area with some of the work that he does. Yeah. But anyway, before we went to the break, we were talking about some of the work you're doing in Detroit with trying to spread the word in the workplace. And most of our listeners, they're probably maybe driving home from work right now. And sometimes those conversations, not everybody wants to have them, right, about faith. But I think as many that don't, there's those that do. And sometimes it just takes that holy boldness to express it. I know when I was in a large company, and I would disappear at lunchtime. Most of the folks be going down to the cafeteria, or they'd be going out to lunch together,
And I would go off, and after a while, I had a guy ask me, you disappear every day at lunchtime. Where do you go? And so I was going to St. Isaac Jogues for the 12:05 Mass at lunchtime. And he asked me, well, why do you do that? And I said to him, because eternity is a long, long time. And he and I worked together for about 15 years. And when he retired, we all go out to lunch. And the last thing he said to me is that we were leaving from lunch. He's like, eternity's a long, long time, isn't it? You know, so we don't know how the things we say or the things that we do will, the impact that they'll have on people, right?
No, but you're right. You need to say them. You need to be willing to open up your mouth. I find it easier the more I do it. I don't know. I've always been a talkative guy, I guess.
Well, you're a sales guy. Maybe you got to be. You're not going to sell anything being quiet.
Maybe a little obnoxious, although I will say it is very it's disheartening when you realize you have to sell God. Okay? It's difficult. And that's why, by the way, I'm very appreciative of the invitation because this is the Holy Spirit's work. He didn't have a publisher. He asked me, you know, I had to self-publish it. I didn't get set up with all that stuff. So, yeah. Every little win, like in the workplace, every little win that you have counts for somebody's soul.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And hopefully along the way, yours and mine. But, you know, certainly the souls of others are critical to our mission. And I'm extremely blessed to have any little part of the plan of the Holy Spirit.
Yep. Yep. And as you said, when we get up in the morning, and a lot of mornings that you wake up, at least I woke up and I said, good God, morning. And now you get up and it's like, good morning, God, and what's in the plan today? And when the days that I do that and consciously do it, I think a lot of days I'll do that unconsciously, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like especially because I work full time in ministry now, so I don't have much choice but to talk about God day in and day out, which is awesome. And what I find too is that we're forced to learn, right? So when we don't always have the softball questions, right? People will come to us with difficult questions, ones that we may not have the answer to. That we've got to go, at least in my case, where I have to go find the answers.
And when it comes to theological issues, or mm-hmm. if it comes to, you know, what is contained in Scripture, I am absolutely in the same boat. I am part of a men's group in our parish called Ignite St. William. We're an outgrowth of a large organization called Inferno Michigan. We are about faith, family, fraternity, and evangelization. I will tell you, I have the New American Bible Revised Edition generally on my kitchen table at home, but I can't quote you directly from it. That's why I showed up with notes in case I needed to.
Yeah, yeah.
But there is, you know, I'm with you. There's always learning to do. We always need to find better ways, accurate ways, truthful ways, okay, to share his word and his love. Mm. And to me, I'm more of that, and you can see it in the book. I am not going to pretend to be a Catholic author that has, I don't have a seminary background. I don't have a degree in theology. I'm just a guy who got picked for whatever the Spirit's reasons were to do
right.
this.
Right.
I'm learning with everybody else. But that's what makes this ride, even as we approach, you know, middle stages of life or later stages of life, what makes it so much fun. And so, as we talked about, joyful,
yep.
is that I have so much to learn about him and his ways and how to speak correctly.
Mm-hmm. And it gives life purpose, you know.
Oh, indeed.
When you get up in the morning, that's the other, when you get up in the morning with a purpose, you can jump out of bed and face the day. When you get up and it's, you know, you don't particularly care for the job that you have or the people that you work with, and it becomes mundane or even difficult. It can be, I understand why some people can't get out of bed in the mm-hmm. morning, But we've all got to find that purpose. And like I said in the first segment today, you know, everybody's got one. It's up to the individual, right, to try and figure out what that is and discern, you know, what that is. And chances are it's not going to, you know, we got to be in work 40 hours a week or however many hours we're putting in. So that may be where it is, but you may be being called to do something outside the workplace. Yeah.
One of the questions I asked several of my colleagues when I was writing the book, I asked the guys in the workplace. Maybe it was me unleashing the gospel at work. I don't know. Yeah. But I asked several people, I said, do you think that God calls you even if you're not listening? And their answers were all very interesting, and they were quite varied. Mm. So I get a lot of different takes, not just on the question, but on God and how people think about him. I think the answer is yes.
Yeah.
I think you've hit on it, that we need to stop and we need to listen. That's the first step. Okay, as I'm becoming more aware of why this gift came to me and this mandate came to me, you know, from the Spirit, I'm much more aware of the thinking through the whys.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but a lot of people don't, as you pointed out, do that. Stop, it's time, do it. Spend 10 minutes in prayer. And prayer isn't necessarily, okay, let's start the rosary. The rosary is wonderful, we all should pray it. It gives me a great deal of comfort, by the way, to do it. But, you know, God is our friend. And Jesus talks about that and makes it very plain with his apostles.
Mm.
You know, you are not a slave, you are a friend. Make God your friend. I don't have formal discussions with him. I talk to him like you and I are talking. Mm-hmm. And usually I get an answer back. It's never right away, because he makes you stop and think some more.
Yeah. Yeah. And to hear an answer. So we were talking about earlier about paying attention. You have to get rid of the distractions, right?
Yes, you
in
do.
In order to hear it. So
yes, you do.
That's where the quiet time comes in. And over the years, I've not been one either that hears voices. I've had a few locutions in my time where it's been the words were written on my heart, or I didn't hear them audibly, mm-hmm. but I knew what the answer was. But a lot of times the answers come when talking to other people. And so circling back to what we were talking about as far as having these conversations with folks, especially around faith, it's oftentimes, I think, God works through us to help other people through those conversations, and we give them the answers that they need. And what I find interesting is that the answers aren't always what I say. So I'll say one thing and they hear something different, but it's the answer that they need. Mm-hmm. And I've had people come back to me years later and say, remember that conversation we had 5 years ago, and I was going through this, that, or the other thing, and you said, and they'll say where, and it's like, those are not words that I would have said, but that's what they heard. And so God, I think, works through those conversations, either with the exact words we use or how he allows people to interpret what we've said, mm-hmm. in order to get the answer that they need.
Yeah. And we need to, I think we really need to be mindful. You know, when you talk about the words we use, we need to be mindful of people. You know, faith and religion are two different things. Mm-hmm. Okay. I've said this to many people. I don't care what religion you are. I care that you understand that there's a God, okay, and that who loves you and is calling you to heaven, okay? So I try very hard to understand how they approach God, you know, what their concept is. I don't feel I have to, and shame on me, the Catholic Church may not love me for this, but I don't feel I have to personally convert everybody to Catholicism. What I think the calling is to call people to God.
Right. Now, and that's I share that with people when we talk about inviting men to come on retreat, or asking anybody to do anything involving faith, is that we're only responsible for the invitation, and then it's up to the Holy Spirit to get them there.
Yeah, indeed.
And once the invitation's made, you know, if the Holy Spirit's calling them to convert to Catholicism, he'll provide the path for them to get there. You may be the initial channel, but, you know, because I've got friends that you know, I'll talk to, and it's, you know, oh, well, they're not Catholic or this, that. And I just tell everybody's Catholic. There's just a lot of people don't know it yet, you know. But you don't have to use that when we're talking to other folks. You know, God's God, and I think you mentioned in the book in a couple of places, we talk about the things we have in common and not the things that may divide us.
Oh, it's critical. And in doing some of my research, some of the best things I read were quotes from Archbishop Desmond Tutu, mm-hmm. who very much, you know, reminds us of the fact that, well, the title of his book that I read is called God is Not a Christian and Other Provocations. That's the book. Well, think about that. God is not a Christian. Well, he's not. Mm-hmm. and Desmond Tutu does this fabulous job of tying in cultures, color, race, other religions into that idea. Mm-hmm. You know, when he talks about I think the African concept is Ubuntu.
Right.
You know, and it's about community. You know, it's about a human community. And, of course, God, again, is part of that community. That to me meant talk about opening my eyes, because again, I think you could look at any religion and say this is wrong with it, this is wrong with it, and not maybe so much in concepts, but maybe even in the administration of right. the church or whatever.
Sure.
You know, we're human though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, they're all human institutions.
They're all human institutions. Okay,
right.
There's one divine God.
Right.
So.
Very good. We've got about 10 minutes or so left here, and I know you've got some notes there. Is there stuff that we've not covered yet that you were hoping to get in here?
Well, they aren't so much things that I wanted to get in, and thank you very much. I take notes because I'm influenced by a lot of people, or I find a lot of things. I collect things, okay, when it comes to faith mm-hmm. and God and love. Okay, I have you know, my phone's filled up with notes of pictures and snippets off of Facebook and things. There's a lot of wonderful information out there that, to me, again, talks about the very central but very simple theme. Okay,
mm-hmm.
which is, you know, the which is brought out best in the Gospel of John about you know, God made us to love Him and to love one another. Okay, I mean, that's it. Again, I'm a simple person. The message doesn't have to be complicated, Ken.
No,
I'm sorry. It's that easy. Why we are in the world where we are today, I think, is because people just haven't gotten to that or need to get back to it. They've gotten away from it mm-hmm. and need to get back to it. Is what yeah. I should say.
Yeah. No. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah,
you're welcome to share any of the nice quotes that you care to here.
Yeah,
future programs.
Yeah, but our guest in this hour is John Hollowell. The book we're talking about is called "Playing in the Sandbox," self-published by Westbo Press, available at Amazon, Barnes and Noble, and
Ingram Press
on their websites. And the book goes into a lot of details on some of the things that has happened in your life, John. And some people would read it and say, you know, it seemed to be, at least for a period of time there, one tragedy after another. And yet, you know, here we are talking about it. And some of those things, I know some of those things that have happened to other people that have literally, you know, brought them to their knees and not necessarily to pray, whether it led to addiction and suicide and those other things. And somehow or other, God's chosen you to experience these things in order to share how great He is.
It's been an interesting life for me. As I say, I woke up to realize what it was all about. You don't know until he beats you over the head with it, and I got beat over the head with it. I tried to introduce this into the book right away, okay? The things that have happened in my life, yes, I've gone through them. There are people that have had far more difficulties. You know, you mentioned suicide, for instance. I had my son had a classmate you know, died of suicide. I have a very good friend in the church whose son was a, you know, took his own life. I have a son that changed his life into someone else's life that he thought was his own, or still thinks is his own. There are people that have gone through a lot worse than I've been through, okay? And this book was not intended for me to tell my story. I am not special. I am not unique. Really, the Holy Spirit said, tell your story, meaning he has inserted himself into it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what it was always meant to be about, which is where I think we were, you know, we were leading with all this, okay? I shared the details of my story, some of the things in my life, because I realized that God was literally holding my hand as all those things were happening. Never once did I ask the question, why me?
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Yeah.
I've never done that. I don't know what the answer is, by the way, to why me. Maybe I'm afraid to ask it.
Yeah, well,
so,
no, but you know. To your point, though, everybody has their own struggles.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of times we don't realize it in the moment that we're experiencing the struggle. But if we look at our struggles after the fact and look back over time, we can see where God actually prepared us for those struggles. And maybe it's a particular person that he's put in our life for a specific grace that we were given that prepared us for that event. But you need to look for it, because it can be real easy to curl up on the sofa. And I thought about it a few times, you know, in the spring when I could have very easily curled up on the sofa, called everybody and said, I can't work. I can't do this. I can't do that. I'm just going to curl up here on my sofa and have another glass of poor me. And people would have understood, but that's not the way that I was wired. And I was really blessed, because I realized pretty quickly that God's grace was there throughout all of that. But you have to look for it.
You do.
You know?
You do. You have to.
And you have to have somebody tell you that it actually exists. So I don't think you're going to all of a sudden come up with the idea that, oh, I had all this grace and that's how I got through this. Somebody has to teach us about it, I think.
It's something that clearly comes over time.
Yeah.
Again, if people are afraid of getting older and aging, no, there's every stage of life is special.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and the stage of life where I'm at, certainly the age and the things that have gone through my life, I can now sit back and connect the dots, okay,
yeah,
from our lives and God's word that he sent through me into his plan, okay? Mm-hmm. That's the biggest blessing of all.
Amen.
You know, as I can take it and I can, and I look back sometimes at that book and I say, okay, I don't know what it is. The reviews are okay so far.
Yeah.
And if anybody cares to read it and offer some more, it'd be appreciated, by the way. That's my commercial for the hour.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's how you sell books.
Yeah.
And I'm not here to sell books. I'm here for people to do what you're talking about, which is spend a few minutes in their life.
Yep.
And see what it's all about and see what they can do to bring us back on the path to heaven.
Yeah. No, and I think that when we share that with other people, it encourages them to look at their own stories and what is it in their story that they can share with other people.
Well said. Thank you.
And,
well said.
Yeah, and when we do that, well, and that's how, you know, 12-step programs and a lot of faith-based programs will work. It's when we share our stories, other people realize that they're not unique, that other people go through the same struggles, they have the same questions. And when you realize that you're not the only one, you know, it's like when I got married and started having kids, it was like, weren't they supposed to give you a manual, you know, right after you kiss the bride that tells you exactly how to manage all this stuff? And you find out that there is no book and there is no guide. We can bounce ideas off of friends and ask for help. But,
sure.
But I think that's where we get it from one another.
Yep, I agree. And I appreciate spending this time with you. And it's meant a lot to me. It's some more of my growth.
Very good. I appreciate you
making the trip and coming in. Again, our guest today has been John Hollowell. The book we're talking about is called Playing in the Sandbox, published by Westbow Press, available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and Ingram Press. And again, these 2 hours today on this Wednesday afternoon have flown by. It looks like the sun may be out for now. But again, please pray for sun on Monday afternoon when we're out there whacking that little white ball around, getting some golf in along with faith and fellowship. As mentioned in the 4 o'clock hour, that hour has changed a little bit with the departure of my good friend Father McKay. And so next Wednesday we'll have the 4 o'clock hour. I plan to talk about step two in the 12-step program. Last week I talked quite a bit about step one. And you can always go back and listen to this show or any of the shows here at In His Sign Catholic Radio by going to our website at inhissign.com. If you click on content and then podcasts, you can listen to those shows. You can also forward those links to, you know, friends and family, and maybe encourage them to listen to a particular show that you got something out of, or maybe there's a show that you think will help them. By all means, spread the word and share the information. That's how we can. That's how we evangelize. Also, want to mention one other thing. Yesterday was the feast of Our Lady of the Rosary. We mentioned the Rosary just briefly, and what a great prayer it was. And I had an opportunity yesterday to make. It's either the fifth or sixth time I've done the consecration to Jesus through Mary. Over at St. Matthew's Church in Conshohocken was the first time I was ever in the church, and had an opportunity to make that consecration with a friend. And it was kind of an honor. God, I had a conversation with somebody yesterday afternoon that was looking for a little bit of guidance, and recommended it to them. And I'm just bringing it up now because it came to mind, one of those things that we can share with other folks. And how we grow in our own relationship with God. And that was probably the single greatest thing that I've done in my spiritual life that has helped me. And that was the initial consecration I did back in 1997. I know the Blessed Mother has been carrying me ever since. And so the next Marian feast day that's coming up, I believe, is November the 21st. That was actually the date in 97 that I made that first consecration. And if you count backwards, 34 days, if you want to start, so it would be October 17th or 18th, so in the coming weeks. If you've not made that consecration, think about doing it. We talked in the 4 o'clock hour about self-sacrifice, and John, you're doing that right now, you know, sacrificing your time and your money to come out here and talk about your book and to be a witness. And I know that consecration helped me in being able to be a witness to others, especially in this fallen and broken world that we live in. So, again, John, I want to thank you for making the trip, coming into the studio.
Thank you, Ken.
Our listeners for whatever part of the 2 hours that you were able to be with us today. I look forward to being back with you again next Wednesday. And until then, I pray that God will hold you in the palm of his hand. Take care. And God bless.